This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
Afternoon here on TSN 1290, TSN1290.ca. You can follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve, Facebook.com/Illegal Curve, and our website is www.illegalcurve.com.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
We are pleased to welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. He's Winnipeg Jets assistant coach Charlie Huddy. Charlie, good afternoon. Thanks very much for joining us.
Yeah, no problem. Good afternoon to you guys.
Charlie, we saw the pictures of Jacob Trouba at the Iceplex. Obviously, you have to start there with the scary situation from last night's game. By all accounts, he dodged a bullet just a couple weeks out with the neck strain and everything else. Have you had the opportunity to talk to Jacob, and how is he feeling?
Yeah, I talked to him a little bit at practice today. You know what? He was in good spirits. He was doing real well, a little bit sore and stiff, but other than that, again, just in real good spirits.
And Charlie, injury aside, of course, and obviously happy that he did dodge that bullet. How pleasantly surprised have you been from a coaching defense perspective how seamless it appears Trouba's transition has been to the National Hockey League so far?
Yeah, you know what? It's been real good. You never know what you're gonna get from a young guy coming in, especially on defense. You know, it's playing at the level he'd been playing at. Just to be able to come in and play the way he's played for us, there's always learning curves, and there's going to be mistakes that'll be made through the course of the game, through the course of the season. But he's done a real good job for us. He's logged a lot of minutes in a lot of games, and I've had him out there in all different situations. So he's been a real pleasant surprise for us.
Charlie, Zach Bogosian signed that big contract in the off season. As a coach, how do you guard against a player like Zach Bogosian putting too much pressure on himself after having signed that contract?
You know what? I mean, he's a pretty level-headed kid. I think Zach is one of those guys from the time that I've known him. He just loved to come to the rink and play the games. I don't think he puts any added pressure on himself. Every guy that goes out there wants to play well and help the team win, and I think that's what Zach does. I mean, there's going to be points where you feel you should be doing a little bit more or whatever the case may be, but I think that's where you just keep them level-headed and just get them out there playing.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290, tsn1290.ca. We're joined by Winnipeg Jets assistant coach Charlie Huddy.
Charlie, it seems like when you watch the Jets play, obviously there's a bunch of mobile defense on the squad, as you're obviously aware. Guys like Bogosian and Trouba, it seems like even more so than last year, they're dumping the puck in, or they're kind of skating the puck out of their own zone, even through their neutral zone, getting the red line, dumping it in, and then forechecking on their own, following up their own dump in. Is that something the team's trying to be more conscious of, is getting in on the forecheck and maybe using the defense speed to start creating problems in the offensive zone?
Well, I think one of the things is we'd like to get our defensemen involved in the offense. Yeah, we want them joining the rush coming in out on the breakout, and if they're carrying the puck up and get it laid into the goal line, they're able to go in and get some forecheck. It's not something we want them doing all the time for the simple reason that they might get caught in deep and they might come back the other way on us, which we're not looking for. But if they've made a good dump, they've got an opportunity to get the puck, then obviously we let them go in and go from there. And all I ask is that they go into the offensive zone and kind of get in and out. If they get in there and they can make a play, then they can get out and get back to their point position and get their spot filled by a forward. But again, we want to get our D involved in the offense and in the rush, because like you say, we've got some guys that can skate back there and make some plays.
Charlie, sticking with Zach Bogosian, the team has had him on the left side of the defensive pairings for a large portion of the season so far. What is the thought process behind that decision, and how difficult is it for a player to make that adjustment?
Well, I think that was just the pairs that we had that we thought were going to help us win hockey games, the pairs that we had put together and kind of go from there. It's a little bit of a change when you get onto your opposite side. Mm-hmm. I played it my whole career. I played the right side, shot left, but it's a bit of a change. There's an adjustment period. It takes time to get used just everything, just reading the ice, and you know, when you get the puck, you're obviously on the other side. So now, for me, you're always looking more into the middle of the ice and things like that. But even just, you know, keeping pucks in along the boards and in the offensive zone, pinching down and things like that. Mm-hmm. So if you can do it, I think a lot of the times it's a pretty good way to play on your offside. It gives you a little bit more advantage. You know, when you go back into your own end, you pick the puck up. Now you're coming out on your forehand, and you know, taking the rush. You can use your stick and push guys wide. So there's a few advantages to it, but again, it does take a little bit of time to get used to.
Charlie, just from a hockey like theory perspective, why do you think it is that we see more left? You know, you as you said, you were a left-handed shooting guy. Why do you think it is we see more left-handed shooting guys playing the offside on defense as opposed to right-handed shooting guys?
Yeah, good question. I don't know. You know, I think the big thing is that although there's more coming in now, there's not enough right-handed defensemen,
yeah.
So they got to get the lefties over on the right side. But we're seeing a lot more right-handed shots come in. So I think that's the biggest reason is that particular times there's not enough right-hand shots.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290, online at tsn1290.ca. We're joined by Winnipeg Jets assistant coach Charlie Huddy.
Charlie, we wanted to ask you about shuffling players in and out of the lineup because you work primarily with the defensemen and you are dealing with players coming in and out of the lineup, and with the unfortunate injury to Jacob Trouba, that's going to happen probably with Paul Postma coming back into the lineup. And Postma and Grant Klitsam are probably two of the guys that have shuffled in and out of the lineup so much. How do you guard against players losing their confidence when they're coming in and out of the lineup on a week-to-week basis?
Well, yeah, you're right. That's the biggest thing is just trying to keep their confidence level high. And, you know, I always, guys that are kind of in and out of the lineup, I always, you know, just ask them to just, you know, to be working hard in practice. Their practice is like their games for them, you know. So I want them to try to stay sharp and, you know, again, play practice like it's a game so that they can, you know, make some plays and get some confidence. So when they get back into the lineup that they've, you know, like you said, they've got that confidence to make plays. And the big thing is when you're in and out of the lineup, you're always a little bit nervous coming back in, and sometimes things don't go the right way. But, you know, having said that, it's the, you know, the guys that can put a mistake in behind them and move forward from there are the guys that really help their game and help improve their game down the road. So you're right. The big thing is just keeping them confident and, you know, giving them the opportunity to get out there and play and to build their confidence.
And Charlie, coming into the season, the team was talking a lot about preaching a better commitment to team defense. And from a defenseman's perspective, what did you have to stress most when trying to talk about that team defense concept?
Holding position a little bit more, not getting running out of position and, you know, chasing pucks and things like that, or chasing guys. We wanted to hold position and read from the middle of the ice, and then when the opportunity's there to be able to close them out. And I think one of the areas that we knew we had to improve in and we're still working on it is just around our net. I think our defense, just we need to be a little bit better around our defense of getting people out of the way so the goaltender can see that first shot. And the other side of it is just being able to clear rebounds out of there, or getting bodies out of there and moving guys out so pucks aren't laying around and guys getting second and third chances on them. That's where a lot of goals are scored, you know, second and third opportunities. So we've got to, you know, continue to get better in that area.
You talk about, you know, clearing the rebounds. That was probably a problem on that third goal last night for St. Louis. But in terms of, again, the kind of a hockey theory question, Charlie, a lot of teams are now fronting the player in front of the net, you know, the opposing player in front of the net, as opposed to maybe clearing them out when they kind of did when you played. What's your kind of position on that change with the game?
Well, I mean, yeah, it's the only thing I've told our guys is that if they're gonna be in front of the opposition when somebody's shooting from the point or wherever the case may be, then their number one thing is they've got to block the shot.
Right.
They've got no choice, because if it falls in behind them, the opposition obviously is in behind them, and they've got a chance to score. So that's all I ask them if they're gonna front. I'm still kind of a guy that likes to, you know, be behind the guy so you can get his stick and kind of push him out. I know we're limited on rules and how we can move guys in front of the net. It's not favorable for defensemen that are, you know, when you're playing the front of the net. But The big thing is getting body position and boxing guys out. For me, is when, you know, pucks go back to the point, I want to try get our guys to, you know, box the forward who's trying to get to the front of the net. Like, make him work hard to get to the front of the net. We just can't let him get there and get position. So that's an area that we're always talking about and working on, about, you know, make the opposition work to get to the front of the net, and then once they get there, you know, the battle's on.
Charlie, we'll let you go on this last question. Obviously, the hybrid icing has been introduced to the NHL this year. How big has the adjustment been from a defense's perspective?
I don't think there's much. I mean, you know, when the puck's shot down, you're always going to go as hard as you can to get it, because you don't know if it's going to be icing or not. But I think it'll, at the end of the day, I guess it'll save could save some injuries. There's maybe some gray areas right now still. I think the linesmen are still having a little bit of a tough time, you know, figuring, you know, the race part out. And the other part, you know, I was talking to one of the linesmen last night, was, you know, if a team comes in and rims the puck and it goes to the other side, you know, it's a tough call for them on, you know, judging who's going to get there first and stuff like that. So I think as the season goes on, I think it'll get cleared up. But, again, it'll probably save some injuries at the end of the day.
Charlie Huddy, Winnipeg Jets assistant coach, thanks very much for joining us this afternoon on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
All right, thanks, guys.
Take care, Charlie.
Yeah, all right, bye-bye.
Let's go to break. You're listening to TSN 1290, tsn1290.ca.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, the podcast on tsn1290.ca.
Big thank you to Winnipeg Jets assistant coach Charlie Huddy for joining us. In case you missed any of that interview, it will be available for download on tsn1290.ca and on our website, illegalcurve.com. This segment of the show is brought to you by Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club. For over 25 years, Rumors has been Winnipeg's home for the best in stand-up comedy. To purchase tickets or for a list of performers and showtimes, visit RumorsComedyClub.com. Tonight at Rumors for two final shows after a two-week stint in town. Mark Forward is here. I'm reliably informed that both shows are nearly sold out. So if you want to go to Rumors and you want to see Mark Forward, and we know that you do, you better get on to RumorsComedyClub.com very quickly. And, of course, Rumors is your best place to go for your office Christmas party. That's rapidly approaching sometime. Somehow, some way, it's almost the Christmas party season here in Winnipeg.
I guess with a name like Mark Forward, if he played hockey, like, he can't play goalie or defense.
Probably not. I don't know of any forwards who've done. We'll have to look into the record books to see if there's been any forwards who've been defensemen or goaltenders before.
We'd have to put him on the all position team there.
Yeah, the all position team. Okay, exactly. speaking of forwards, Richard, are you done with us, Richard? Is that what that sigh was?
Keep going.
Officially done with us. Speaking of forwards,
really good interview with Charlie Huddy, by the way.
Yeah, it was a great interview.
We only do good interviews on this show. We don't put out mediocre interviews. It's all good.
Yeah, the rest of the content is mediocre. The interviews are top-notch. Everything aside from that is mediocre at best. Philadelphia Flyers offense is historically bad. They became the first team since the 1964 Boston Bruins to fail to score more than two goals in a game to start the season. If you look at the Flyers offense, and it's now been over a year, it was last year, too, where their offense was lousy. And you look at the Flyers team, and you got guys like Claude Giroux, and you got guys like Vinny LeCavalier this year when he's healthy. He's injured right now. And you got guys like Jacob Voracek, and you got guys like Wayne Simmonds, and you got guys like Braden Schenn. Mm-hmm. How is it possible that the Flyers, with that firepower, can't score goals?
Beats me, Drew. I mean, there's too much talent there. And I realize LeCavalier and Hartnell are injured, and obviously that's a factor. Because LeCavalier looked pretty good, actually, before he did get hurt. Hartnell hadn't, I believe, got a point yet. But that's a matter of confidence. We spoke about it with Charlie Huddy. That's a matter of confidence, and this team, well, and that combined with the fact that Peter Laviolette's an offensive coach and Craig Berube is coming and stress defense. Now, you can still create offense from defense, as many of the coaches always seem to preach. But there's certainly a little bit less freedom there. But even so, maybe it's an adjustment issue to the system. maybe, but I think primarily it's a confidence issue. And, you know, Giroux comes back off a half a hand injury and not as confident and can't, you know, he's not feeling his game right now. So he is the center. He's the catalyst. Le Cavalier is the center also, is a catalyst. And Couturier is center, is a catalyst. So if your centers aren't going, it's tough to get the rest of the guys going too.
Right. And I still think, even though they're 1-7, they're going to turn this around. And you look at that Metropolitan division, and there are a lot of teams struggling. New Jersey, I mean,
it's a bad division.
It's not a good division right now. And sure, Philadelphia at 1-7, should you be concerned? Yes. They obviously fired Peter Laviolette after starting out 0-3. And now Craig Berube, as the head coach, has only got them one more win. Only one. They only have one win on the season. But that coaching change obviously hasn't, you know, worked out thus far. But it seems like everything has gone wrong for the Philadelphia Flyers. Our good friend Anthony Sanfilippo said that the training camp wasn't good, the preseason wasn't good. Mm-hmm. The Claude Giroux freak golf incident injury, he obviously is not fully recovered, because Claude Giroux, when he's healthy, is a top 10 player in the NHL.
Well, I was going to ask that. Claude Giroux last year was, I think, 48 points in 48 games, if I'm not mistaken. Is it possible that Claude Giroux isn't quite as good as we think he is, and that the great year he had 2 years ago...
It's not an aberration.
The great year that he had 2 years ago had a fair bit to do with the fact that Jaromir Jagr was playing with him?
No, I'm not so sure about that.
Claude Giroux is an excellent player. And
go to Team Canada camp. I don't understand that.
Is that going to be... Yeah, that
Say that again?
Well, again, he had...
I went off
he
on
did
that
have,
on the show.
He did have... He was recovering from the
injury.
Didn't
matter. They weren't playing. They could have sat and watched the ball hockey. Jokes aside, I mean,
right.
The idea is you want to be on that team. First of all, I said he wasn't on the team as soon as he didn't go to that camp. People could say, well, the camp doesn't mean anything. I disagree. You want to go, you're a part of a team, you go. Other problem.
So you don't think Claude Giroux is going to be on the Olympic team?
Well, I said I don't think he should be on the team. I said that before.
Well, the way he's playing right now.
And now he's playing his way off the team.
Right.
So, I mean, that, you know, he's gave him ammunition. You don't go to that camp. I don't care what anybody says publicly. They weren't happy about it.
About the fact that Claude Giroux chose to rehab his injury rather than go to Calgary for the Olympics.
3 days.
Yeah, and Richie makes a good point. There wasn't any on-ice practicing, so really you should have been there just to show that you're part of the team. But really, though, with the Philadelphia Flyers, I mean, you can just look at the standings, and they're at the bottom of the Eastern Conference, so obviously they're not playing well. But
they have 11 goals in 8 games.
Right, and that's the least amount in the entire league.
Well, tied with Buffalo.
Tied with Buffalo. But
Buffalo has not even close to the level of talent.
You can say whatever you want about the Philadelphia Flyers, but everything has just gone wrong so far. I mean, the goaltending hasn't been good, and I didn't think it was as bad as some people were saying it was.
The goaltending's been fine.
Mason's been fine.
Yeah, 923 save percentage.
Been fine.
2.37 goals against average.
Well, you don't score, Drew, you can't win. This is like the old Luongo Stanley Cup final
but
thing. He certainly wasn't great,
Vinny
but what did he score? 8 goals in 7 games?
Vinny LeCavalier gets injured, so you brought him in to be your second-line center. Scotty Hartnell's out for another 3 weeks. He's on your top line. Giroux and Hartnell have been mainstays on that top line, so... Everything seems to be going wrong right now for the Philadelphia Flyers. And sure, guys aren't scoring. Couturier, we mentioned, a guy like Braden Schenn's got to step his game up. Matt Reed hasn't been putting the puck in the net. So all these guys, Simmons is another guy that has struggled. So at the end of the day, it is confidence. These guys are not scoring enough goals to win hockey games. I mean, when you have a negative 13 goal differential, I don't care how good you are, you have to be excellent defensively if you're only going to score one or two goals a game. So I do think they will turn around. Too much talent up front to not turn this around.
The other problem you have is when these guys are all pretty good and they know they're pretty good, they think it's going to come. And maybe they get a little bit too kind of blasé attitude about where, you know, obviously you heard Giroux. You know, Giroux came out the other day and said, you know, if you know anything about hockey, you know, we're getting better. We played a good game. And they had lost. And maybe that's the case. But the idea is when you know you've gotten a point a game before and you know you've scored 30 goals before, you know you've popped 25 before, you know, talking about Hartnell and Giroux and Simmons, sometimes you feel like it's going to come, and then it doesn't come for a long enough period of time, and then you're done. Because it's so hard in this league to get too far behind because everybody gets those three-point games.
You know, and it's not, you know, if it's going to come, like Claude Giroux was saying. Well, I mean, their offense, everyone blames Brizgalov for last year and for everything else. His numbers weren't terrible last year.
Yeah, he wasn't very good. But, I mean, their defense wasn't very good last year, and it's not great this year. But they have enough forwards to be able to score, and in that awful division, they should make the playoffs.
Right.
That division is awful.
But last year they didn't score enough either.
It's odd, Drew. I agree with you.
Well, that's why I begin to ask the question, you know, what is it? If it's not, I mean, if everybody, you know, on paper, you would take the, I mean, you would certainly take the Flyers' offensive players on paper, probably in your top 10 if you were picking random teams in the NHL.
I have to actually do it, but it'd they have talent. Yes,
you know, in
of course.
And around. They're the top half of the NHL at the very least.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it just seems so bizarre that this team can't score given the offensive firepower they have. I mean, you know, Braden Schenn, who's a good player, is leading the team in points, but it's not like he's tearing anything up. And, I mean, after Braden Schenn, it's time again.
He's been good, actually, but he's not a first-liner.
He's
been pretty good. Yeah, I like Time Again's game, though. He's got a goal-scoring touch. He's got some physicality. But, again, he would most likely be playing a third- or fourth-line role if the Flyers were healthy and had Hartnell playing up there. But I don't think that's the problem. Time Again's not the problem on the Flyers right now. It's guys like Wayne Simmonds and Matt Reed and Jacob Voracek scoring goals and contributing. They need those guys to be scoring goals, and not to mention Claude Giroux.
Their transition game, shouldn't be terrible with Strike, Thiemann, and Coburn, and all those guys. I mean, Thiemann slowed down, don't get me wrong, but enough of those guys can move the puck.
He's also day-to-day with a lower body injury. Left the game against Pittsburgh, and I mean, we're not sure if he's going to play next or not, but he's, you know, you just keep adding to their injury woes. I mean, Hartnell and LeCavalier are both out, and that hurts. So
LeCavalier actually really looked solid. He was creating a lot of chances and developing some chemistry, so that hurts them. But that shouldn't be an excuse for scoring, for being 1-7 and scoring nuts, not
well,
scoring
that's
at all.
11 goals in 8 games.
Yeah,
you can't. It's hard to, you know, sugarcoat that and to make it seem like.
And they're going to bounce. Like, these guys are going to eventually get out of it. The question is going to be, you know, is it going to be next game or is it going to be five games?
And don't get me wrong, when you've won one game in 8, you're putting yourself way behind the 8 ball there to make the playoffs. But you know, it's an 82-game season. They've got to turn it around. But as Richie said, are they going to turn around and game 10, or are they going to wait till game 20 to turn around? By that point, it might be too late.
The one saving grace is you're in a division where the Carolina Hurricanes are second.
Right. I mean, they're only 7 points behind the Carolina Hurricanes.
You want to hear how bad that division is? Philadelphia Flyers are 1-7. They're they're a win away from being tied for fourth.
Yeah, it's a bad division.
Yeah, Columbus and the Rangers are struggling. I mean,
there's gonna be a crossover in the other division because this is how bad this division is.
You look at the other division, exactly like you said. I mean, Boston and Ottawa, who both, I mean, you know, Boston and Ottawa are tied for fifth in that other division. So, I mean, you could see.
Right. Remember, the Ottawa Senators started the season with 6-game road trip. And Tampa Bay quietly is 5-2.
And the New York Rangers, I don't think, have played a home game yet, have they?
They haven't.
They're still on the road because they're doing the renovations at Madison Square Garden. So it's just, I mean, it's a lousy division, so there is time for the Flyers to bounce back.
Absolutely.
But, you know, whether or not they will or not is a separate issue, and I'm less confident that they are because it's been a while now. You got a pretty decent sampling of games that just might say this offense isn't as good as we think it is.
Might be right.
Quickly before we go to break at the top of the hour, the Rangers lose Ryan Callahan 3 to 4 weeks with a broken thumb.
Tough.
Yeah.
It's tough. You know, he's a heart and soul guy. You're getting him back after the original rehab, and you lose him right away, and a team that, as you said, hasn't played at home, and while they're 2-4, it's hard to gauge with a new coach and without having, you know, step on with a late training camp and
Haglund's injured.
Haglund's, you know, coming back now, so that's a big one for them, and they don't have a ton of depth up front, and the way they want to play, you're going to have, you know, with the defense and goaltending they have, they're going to probably have to curb it a little bit because
curb it, Drew. Oh, you said curb? Sorry. Your enthusiasm?
How would that make sense in that context?
Yeah, Drew, what are you talking about?
I don't listen to you.
Yeah.
That's what it really boils down to.
I should learn a lesson and I'll listen to you.
Yeah, exactly. Why would you ever listen to me? I thought that's how we do the show.
You know, I have a new segment we should start. It's when Remus comes late to the show.
Yeah.
We should call it Finding Remo.
Oh, I like that. It's a good pun. And I have one for two. You know how we do escapades at 2:45?
Yeah.
I have Remusticulous.
I'll stick with Finding Remo.
Okay. Well, they can be two.
Drew, leave the jokes to Ezzy.
Yeah. We're creative. We're creative control over here.
Oh boy, we're all in trouble in that case. Let's go to break. 2 hours down, 1 hour to go. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN 1290.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show,
the podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
Down, 1 hour to go. This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290, online at tsn1290.ca. I'm your host, Drew Mindell. Ezra Ginsberg and Richard Hall join me on this fine program. Producer Timmy gets us on and off the air like the expert that he is. You'll hear from Michael Remus as well in this next hour. You can follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve. Facebook.com/Illegal Curve is our Facebook page. And our website with the latest Winnipeg Jets news and NHL news is www.illegalcurve.com.
I thought we were getting rid of www.
Really?
It's like everybody knows that's how you go online, no?
But it's part of my spiel.
I think you just get rid of www and just go to illegalcurve.com.
Yeah, because then you have to do http://://
Yeah, semicolon.
Semicolon forward slash
URL.
Forward slash.
Bandwidth.
Yeah, but I said www. It's part of my thing.
I think you got to get rid of it.
Next you're going to tell me I can't say if it's Saturday, it's the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Hey, wasn't that, by the way, wasn't that Elliot Friedman?
No, it was Craig Custance.
Oh, Craig Custance.
Who called Drew out on it. Yeah, on ESPN.
Triple W.
You gotta get rid of the triple W. Everybody knows, but nobody. First of all, you don't even need to put triple W in anymore. You just go onto the thing and you type in illegalcurve.com and it works.
I know.
So then why would you? It's archaic.
I actually don't even have to type, Richie. I just clap and my computer does whatever I want. It's different clapping.
I don't
want
to know what sites that goes to, though.
Oh, God almighty. All I can say is close your browser, Ezzy. Close your browser.
No, I'm just on Wikipedia here.
Yeah. Anyways, welcome back to the program. Is Jeff coming in? Is he here yet?
Yes, Jeff Paulson of Movember is about to, I think he is here. He's going to join us in studio because Movember is only about 12 days away now.
Yeah.
13 days away? Well, less than 2 weeks.
No, you and Dave Manuk of IllegalCurve.com are both growing stashes for for Movember this year. Right now you have a full beard, though.
Yep, as do you.
As do I, but I'm going to keep my full beard. Are you going to do a clean shave and start fresh?
Yes, I am. I'm going to go to the Movember. It's called the Shave Off on Movember 1st.
Okay.
So, yes, I'm going to...
Do you say Movember or November?
Yeah, Movember.
Do you say Movember 1st?
Yeah.
He's going to the Shave Off on... Yeah, I don't know. That's a good one.
That's what he said.
I'm trying to wrap my brain around that now.
He didn't call it November. Yeah. He called it Movember 1st.
Yeah.
Well, he's all in.
Yeah. Oh, I'm all in. Last year was an amazing time, and we're going to get the Jets involved again like we did last year, and it's going to be lots of fun. It was a great experience, and we're going to talk to Jeff about it. I'm excited about that.
Okay, well, Jeff Paulson will be joining us momentarily here on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Always like to give back to the community, of course, here.
Absolutely.
We fully support that.
More importantly, though, is Richie going to grow a mustache this year? Because last year, I mean, we're going to get Jeff in here, too. Because last year, a lot of people wanted to see Richie with a mustache. A lot of people were saying that Richie might have a Tom Selleck thing going if he grew that mustache. So, a lot of ladies, specifically, were... wondering if Richie was going to get
grow
in there.
One? I don't know. I'll consider it.
Well, let's tweet at us at Illegal Curve. Oh, I know Richie's God. Not on Twitter,
want,
but
tweets,
let's
no
hear. I guarantee you, we're going to get some support getting Richie into the Movember thing.
All I'm doing now is picturing Tom Selleck in the studio with us, and I just don't know how I'm going to feel about that if that's going on for an entire month.
The question is, though, would his chest hair actually fit in the studio? It pops out so much.
Well, so does Richie's.
Yeah, it's true.
Anyways, I don't think anybody wants to hear about Richie's chest hair.
Yeah, people want to know if the carpet matches the drapes there.
Oh, God.
Anyways, Jeff Paulson going to be joining us momentarily here. Before we get to that, Cody McLeod.
Yeah.
He's going to get suspended.
Well, yeah, he's going to get suspended. He's going to have an in-person hearing with Brendan Shanahan.
See, and before you get into it, Drew, this is the problem. Everybody talks about fighting. Okay, I understand. Go ahead, talk about fighting. The hits from behind are worse right now. Concussions and broken necks. And it's just, you got to stop. They've got to stop. Lap here. I mean, they just got to stop. And this is something that's been going on back years and years and years and years ago. Guys been paralyzed and stuff. Do we have to get back to talking about the stop signs on the back of jerseys again?
Well, and to that point, I don't know why the NHL just doesn't do it so that they can be a leader in that movement.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that.
Why shouldn't the NHL put it there so that they can say, look what we're doing for junior hockey. Look what we're doing for youth hockey. We're telling people that the stop sign is necessary.
Yeah,
is it?
I agree with you, Drew.
Is it because the players won't heed their own call?
It's a good question.
Is it because Cody McLeod is going to keep running over Nicholas Cronwall? Is it because Max Lapierre is going to keep trying to kill Dan Boyle?
The whole idea of the stop sign is that maybe, just maybe, it makes you think for that quarter or that tenth of a second about not doing it. And if that's the effect it has, and then you know, because my problem with the fight, and the players turn into these hits too much from behind more than they used to, and I don't like that. But the idea is, you know, with fighting, two guys are dropping their gloves and they're going at it, and they're they know what they're getting into, you know, more or less. Whereas the hits from behind, they're unsuspecting.
Sure.
They generally don't expect it, and that's probably why they're hurt more, because they don't brace themselves.
It's the respect question we've talked about ad nauseum on the show, is the fact that they just refuse to respect them. I mean, that hit, I mean, the Lapierre hit was bad on Boyle, but the McLeod hit I thought was worse on Cronwall.
Yeah.
Boyle was a little off.
Yeah, I think you're probably right about that. I would agree with that.
You know, it was just as terrible as a hit as we've ever seen, I thought. And it's, I mean, the fact that Cronwall's not more seriously injured, never mind the fact that we had a Colorado Avalanche announcer, praising the hit,
yeah,
which blows my mind to no degree. I mean, the fact that he was out there, that's what Cronwall deserves for all the hits he's laid. Cronwall's never been suspended. Cronwall's never laid a dirty
hit.
He's
an open-ass checker. He's Scott Stevens.
Yeah, he's Scott Stevens.
Nobody's Scott Stevens, but I mean, he tries to be Scott Stevens.
He hits a guy square in the chest. That's he doesn't hit him square in the numbers. And if you can't figure out the difference between the two, then boy, oh boy, you're not following this game of hockey in the least bit. Jeff Paulson, Movember.
Gentlemen. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, buddy?
I'm superb.
Thank you
for having me.
Our pleasure. We always love to be a part of Movember here on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Beautiful.
So we're, you know, it's coming up. I mean, what's today? Today's the 19th of November, so or 19th of October, rather. So 12 days from now, 13 days from now, you got a big handlebar going on right there. Are you getting rid of that?
It's going to go, yeah. It's the promo. It's the one that... The one that we grow in advance so that when we do things like this, we look the part. But, yeah, November 1st, or I guess Movember 1st, we'll shave it right down again and start all over again.
And last year, of course, myself and Ezra and Dave Manuk were involved in Movember. We're pleased to be back. I'm sort of surprised you guys are having us back, but that's very nice of you guys to keep including us in the Movember fun for yet another year.
You know what? Your support and your involvement last year was incredible, and it really helped us. I think take things to a new level, and we're thrilled to be partnered with you guys again moving forward. We're gonna have a lot of fun. We got some great new initiatives going this year too.
Well, why don't you tell us about some of those? First of all, before let's back up a little bit for our audience. You know, you might be hearing, why are these guys keep pronouncing November incorrectly? Why don't you, you know, give us a little bit of a heads up or tell our audience what Movember is in case they don't know.
Movember is, formerly known as the month of November. It's the month where a bunch of us Mo Bros grow a mustache in support of the cause. The cause, of course, is prostate cancer, men's mental health, and a number of other very important men's health causes. So essentially, you can visit Movember.com, register as a official Mo Bro or Mo Sista, solicit some pledges from your friends and family and coworkers and those sorts of people, and have some fun growing a mo and being part of the movement.
Just want to make sure the Mo Sisters don't actually have to grow a Movember, right?
They do not. Okay. We get that question all the time. We just need them to support the men in their life and their involvement with everything.
Jeff, we had you on the show last year.
Yeah.
And I believe we had Jen Botterill on the line as well last year.
That we did, yeah.
But you have actually brought your son in.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got
into the studio
that's
today.
Right.
Is he going to be growing a mustache for Movember this year? The youngest ever mustache grower.
Leaf, are you going to grow a mustache this year? What do you think, bud? Are you going to grow a mustache?
No.
No? One of these years, though, right, buddy? Yeah, there you go. We're on our way to his first Bomber game today.
Oh, very nice.
Hopefully
don't call Child and Family Services on me for punishing the kid.
I was going to say, what have you done that you're being punished for, Leaf?
Don't worry, the Bombers aren't abusing anybody.
That's right. No, we're looking forward to it, eh, bud? Yeah, yeah.
So you mentioned the funds go towards men's mental health and prostate cancer.
Prostate Cancer Canada, yes,
okay.
Absolutely. So, you know, the statistics really speak to, maybe I should back up a little bit. When Movember first started, the sole beneficiary was Prostate Cancer Canada in Canada. And then, you know, it came to be that the funds that were being raised were in such sort of large amount that we added a subsidiary cause being men's mental health. And the reason being is that it was a natural complement that you would go that direction. You know, the numbers show very drastically that men who are either prostate cancer survivors or men who have been diagnosed with prostate cancer end up suffering from some form of mental health illness, but don't feel comfortable talking about it. So essentially, you know, the real keys to what we're trying to do is make sure that we've got guys out there, you know, feeling comfortable having conversations with their doctors about their prostate health and their health in general. And then if in fact they have some unfortunate news when it comes to their physical health, that you know we're not know that it's okay to talk about it with somebody on the mental side of things too.
Jeff, we mentioned that Illegal Curve participated in Movember last year, and it was a lot of fun, and it wasn't even a question if we were going to do it again, and we've kind of joined the Movember family. But what are some of the events that are coming up different than last year? And also, I know that the radio station is going to be involved, and what are some of the things that we can look forward coming up leading up to Movember starting in about 12 days?
You know, it seems every year that we have new and fun, exciting things going on. As always, we'll have our official sort of Movember 1st shave down event that'll happen on Friday, the 1st of the month, at the Red River College downtown campus, where we'll have some celebrity type people come down and
like
get
Drew
a straight barber shave. That's right. Yeah.
Our old stomping grounds, right there.
I'll tell you what. Listen to this one. You want to know one of the guys that's going to be in the barber chair at the shave down on Movember 2nd is the last Bomber home game of the year.
Right.
And they're honoring the 1988 Grey Cup team. I guess it's been 25 years. I guess since that occurred. So a lot of those old players are going to be back in town taking part in that celebration. And one of the guys that are going to be in our Movember chair at the Red River campus is none other than number 58, James Wild West.
Oh, wow.
So that's a coup for us. It's pretty cool to have him being part of that. So we're looking forward to it, as well as a few other local celebs, etc. We're still putting the shout out all the time. Our biggest goal one of these years is to get the most famous Winnipeg mustache celebrity ever, Burton Cummings, into the barber's chair. It's a pipe dream, but we're going to keep on going after it and see what we can do with it.
Yeah, he probably doesn't want to part with that mustache.
It's
just
been
because
so long. Yeah.
It's so nice, and it's like Paul McLean, right? Like,
that's right.
He probably just maybe every once in a while he'll trim it a little bit, but I don't think you'll ever get him to completely start from scratch.
Yeah. I think I'm on side with you on that one. But we're going to keep on sending messages to him and see what if any response we get. So, but anyway, so that we've got that night. We're hoping to be able to have an event soon that we can announce. I can't give a whole lot of details on it right now, but we are looking towards partnering with the Winnipeg Jets on a very, very exciting initiative that we assume you guys will be a real big part of as well. Hopefully this week we can finalize all those details and be able to announce that officially. And then beyond that, we've got a few other sort of fun things happening, a couple of Movember yoga or MOGA events going on. People want to go out and take part in a public sort of a yoga class. We've got one the first Wednesday of the month at the Metropolitan Entertainment Center downtown. Mm-hmm. The timing on that is perfect in that you take part in the MOGA class, and then you can stick around and watch the Jets on the big screen there in the road. They're on the road that night, I think, in Dallas.
Awesome.
Healthy sort of dinner feature, et cetera, et cetera.
I'll tell you this, just to sort of interrupt you, Jeff.
No problem.
I've never done yoga before.
I can only picture that.
Because I'm this into Movember, I'll promise you right now, live on the show, I will do yoga for the first time.
Well, and
I'm that into Movember.
Oh,
and I think people are going to be a little bit frightened and sickened to see me in Lululemon.
I was just going to tell you that that's actually our partner with this this movement is the Lululemon. Is actually
let's not take
event.
That to the next level.
So we're gonna kick it up a notch here. I'm gonna see if I can get
jeans,
you some
maybe?
Lulus for
yeah,
that.
You gotta get
it.
Yeah. If Ezzy's gonna do yoga, he's better be wearing some authentic yoga wear.
Ezzy's only done cold yoga and outside, not hot yoga. Just to wear a
toque. That's just when he passed out in a snowbank. That's what happened when he did cold yoga, I think. Some curling. I'm a curler. Better or worse, I'm not a very good curler, but you got a couple curling events coming up?
Yeah, we're really excited about this one, Movember 23rd and 24th. It's called Rookie Rocks. And so on the Saturday, it's essentially people who have never really curled a whole lot before has to come out and sort of learn to curl. It's put on by Asham Curling Supplies. And so if you're a really, really novice curler, then come out and have a fun day. And then the following day, we're going to have a Mo-Am. So some of the local Mo Bros and Mo Sisters in the curling community, i.e. the Mike McEwen guys, Reed Carruthers, et cetera, and I don't want to be committing people to this before they've actually signed on, but I'm referring to people that have grown Mo's in the past. They would be sort of available in a draft-type format. So you'd join as a team of three and draft your favorite professional curler to join you on the Sunday and have some fun and support the cause further that way.
Jeff, I know we're going to be including this on a legal curve, and we'll be tweeting this out. But for all the people that are not involved with Movember yet, who have never been involved with Movember and want to get involved, what's the website? And I know Movember Winnipeg is a Twitter account that we've been retweeting a lot. But what would you suggest to those people that are going to be wanting to get involved with Movember coming up in about 2 weeks?
It's simple as Movember.com. If you've never registered before, go there. It's a couple of minute process. Very quick. You're in, you're out. And then from there, you've got all that you need in order to go out and take part in everything moving forward.
And just before we let you go, Jeff, the final event, the gala party at the Pyramid
Cabaret
on November 30th. Yep. If you're not involved in Movember, you can still come out and support the cause?
Yeah, for sure you could. You get tickets by reaching certain benchmarks where fundraising is concerned. Mm-hmm. So ideally it is a celebration of the people that have been involved in the movement for the month. We had a real good time down there last year, and we're looking to make it bigger and better this year.
I don't want to toot my own horn, but I won the Illegal Curve fundraising competition last year when it came to Movember.
Well, I think you are tooting your horn.
Yeah, that's tooting your own horn.
but Drew, I understand that you're so proud of this beard that you have on right now that you've decided not to to be honest with you, Jeff,
I don't know why he's so proud of it, because my beard is clearly better.
Yeah, first of all, you have a better beard.
Well, you know what, Ezra, everybody's got to be proud of something, right?
Exactly.
So,
well, my wife and then the people at work were suggesting that I do a reverse Movember. I actually shave off a little bit of the mustache as we go throughout the month of Movember and then grow it back at that point.
Well, another thing too, Jeff, is last year, Richie didn't participate.
I know.
Remus didn't participate.
My mom texted me. She thinks I should participate.
Okay, so I think.
So I'll participate.
Oh, there we go.
Beautiful.
We got Richie in.
I love it. Yeah.
Okay, you know what? And to be honest with you, you subtract Drew and you add Richie. I think that's a win-win.
Definitely. Perfect. And I'm not sure Remus can grow a mustache. Well,
he's not old enough. Yeah.
Listen, fellas, as sort of always, I come bearing gifts.
Now we're talking.
But this is for I come bearing gifts, like real big gifts for the guys that are going to grow. So I got three real big bottles of Jameson Irish whiskey here for the guys that are gonna do it. And then I brought one special for you, Drew, based on the news that you weren't going to grow. Hang on, let me grab that
bottle of water.
I think we're about to get thrown under a bus or something.
Oh, this is great. I can't wait for this. Hold on. I hope it's milk.
Oh, the little bottle.
There you go. Little air bottle.
Perfect. That's amazing.
I can fit this into my pocket. This is perfect. Jeff Paulson, the Movember crew, you check him out. You know that you want to support
him. And Leaf as well. Thanks
and
for
Leaf,
Leaf
course,
for coming.
Thanks for making your radio debut.
He's ready to cheer. What are you going to say at the Bomber Stadium today, Leaf? What are you going to say? What are you going to cheer?
Go Bombers, go.
Leaf's the man.
Jeff and Leaf, thanks very much for joining us. Much more on Movember all throughout the rest of this month and the month of Movember. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN 1290.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. The podcast on TSN 1290.ca.
Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show here on TSN 1290, tsn1290.ca. Coming up in about 10 minutes' time, Chuck Gormley from csnwashington.com is going to join us to talk about the Washington Capitals ahead of their game here in Winnipeg on Tuesday night. Our old division rival, the Washington Capitals. We'll talk to Chuck coming up in about 10 minutes. Continuing on some news and notes from around the NHL, Blues forward Max Lapierre gets 5 games for his hit on Dan Boyle. Right amount, too little, too many? What are you guys' thoughts on that one?
Well, back to, we were talking about this on the midweek show. I thought that Max Lapierre, based on his previous history with suspensions, you could have really thrown the book at him and given him 10 games, 12 games, even more. But based on precedent, we thought he would get 5 or 6. I think I said 6 and Richie said 5, and Richie turned out to be right. So it's kind of to be expected. But again, with all of these incidents happening, Cody McLeod is another guy. You know, is this really going to prevent this from happening? And do you have to start suspending guys for more than 10 games and getting into 20 games to really make a difference here? So it was a dirty hit by a dirty player, and 5 games, hopefully it maybe prevents him from running around like that again.
Yeah, I thought it was about, I like a little bit more, but I thought it was about, it was what I expect. Just because if you watch the replay enough times, you can say, well, maybe a little bit, he could. It wasn't as bad as you thought, the run and the way he pushed him, the way Boyle fell. But, I mean, Max Lapierre's, he's out there. He's a dirty player. He doesn't do, Certainly wasn't any – weren't missing him last night as far as I'm concerned.
No. Speaking of dirty players, Alex Edler of the Vancouver Canucks, who's been suspended already this season, thinks he's a clean player and he won't change his style of play. Your thoughts on Alex Edler?
Well,
and
I don't think he's a clean player. I think he head hunts, and I think he knees, and I think he does things that, you know, he tries to be too aggressive at times. And that's always worrisome if you're a fan, is that guys who get suspended, you know, he's suspended right now and you're in Olympic play. I think he believe him his first two games of the Olympics because of his hit on Eric Staal last year in the World Championships. Mm-hmm. And his hit on Hurdle, I mean, that's worrisome. Because, and if you're Brendan Shanahan, more so, if he gets another suspension, you have to think to yourself as Brendan Shanahan, well, clearly he doesn't think he's done anything wrong. So maybe my penalties or what we're talking to him about is not working.
It's really a concern to me that these have all happened in almost like a week span. And these are all guys that are notorious, I don't know what you want to say, players with shoddy pass, with cheap shots or dirty players. So it's all happening at the beginning of the season, and in the coming weeks for the rest of the season, we'll see if there's any deterrent. I'm really skeptical that these suspensions really clean up the game, and that goes back to what I'm saying, that these guys have to get suspended longer, but only time will tell, right?
Let me ask you, here's the quote from John Tortorella. About Alex Edler's hit on Thomas Hurdle, the one that he was suspended for 3 games. I would teach that play to all our defensemen, John Tortorella said. The one he was suspended on, we're teaching that. The league just happens to believe it's suspendable.
That's a problem, too. It's a fundamental problem.
But Richie, what about the fact that Alex Edler is a top defenseman for the Vancouver Canucks? He's been suspended 3 times in the last 8 months. I mean, they need him in the lineup playing 25 minutes a night. If he's not going to change his style and he's... I mean, who knows if he's going to get suspended again, but they need him in the lineup regardless.
Well, I mean, how can John Tortorella make those calls? I mean, it's, you know, on one hand, he's saying we're teaching it. On the other hand, he's also admitting that the NHL fines is suspendable. Uh-huh. So, I mean, at some point in time, something's got to give there. I mean, logically.
They got it. These players, hockey, again, there's going to be hits. There's going to be hits where guys get hurt. But the problem is, it's the cheap shots where you got to use your brain and you got to think, I shouldn't be following through when I see numbers. Yeah. That's what it is. And these are all shots to the head or hitting from behind. Things where the player is making a conscious decision to follow through either with a hit to the head or plowing a guy when it's from behind.
Well,
I want to see these guys using their brain and holding up and not doing this type of stuff.
We're at the game last night and we're watching the highlight packets in the second intermission and the top 10 hits of the game of the year, I guess, thus far. And some of them are very much clean, but if you see, I think it was like 6 of the 10 were just fighters who were just looking for hits. Like, you could see the hits were not even guys looking to play the puck. Not another fundamental problem.
Sure, they're glorifying the violence of it all, is what you're saying.
It's an NHL pack. It's not a Jets pack. It's an NHL top 10 hits pack, and you have like Zach Ronaldo running a guy. Zach Ronaldo looked like he was going to run the guy regardless. Like, it was just, you know, is he looking to play the puck and actually score? Is he just looking to go out there and hit guys? And that's, I don't know. That's not the purpose of hitting, I don't think, is it? Like,
here's another commentary you might have some trouble with. Steve Ott is having a hard time with the amount of games that Patrick Kaleta got because Jack Johnson wasn't injured on the hit.
He's an idiot. He's an idiot. He's an idiot because, you know what? If that's the case, Steve Ott, then he's a dirty player too. If that's the case, then when the next guy gets a concussion, so you know what? Matt Cook should never play a game. I'm fine with that trade-off. Matt Cook should never play a game in the National Hockey League again because of his hit on Mark Savard.
Here's the quote Steve Ott said to
or
the
10 games that Savard played after he came back and he wasn't right.
Said to the Buffalo News, "It's hard because there's no injury on the play.
Okay.
I have a hard time with it for that simple fact.
Have it both ways.
Is it suspendable? Absolutely. As in, the guy could have really been hurt, but could have is not good enough for me."
Okay, so that's fine. So then go in the next meeting, in the PA meeting, and say you want the players to be out for the same amount of time as the players to be suspended for the same amount of time as there's an injury.
Right. So then Todd Bertuzzi, by that, would never have played again.
Based on his hit on Steve Moore.
That's exactly right.
I tend to believe that Todd Bertuzzi shouldn't have played again. But
he's played a lot since.
I'm not sure he has played again. Well, have you seen him play?
He's played on the top line sometimes on Detroit.
But I mean, you know.
And well, he's lucky him.
He's never been the same. And you know, and let's get back to that. Go ahead and say that in the meeting then. Fine. Steve Ott.
It's accountability, respect. Yeah. I mean, come on. I mean, and again, I said this on midweek. I don't know what the solution is here because there are guys out there that this is their bread and butter, but I think
they're going to change.
I don't know if they're going to change.
One before we go to break. Carl Soderberg is clear to make his season debut with the Bruins. What's he going to bring to the table for the Boston Bruins?
skilled guy, but he's a young guy, you know, and a young skill player. And you saw him in the finals last year.
Yep.
But a young skill guy in a Claude Julien team has got to work awfully hard to make his way up to the. He's not going to make his way up to the top two lines likely. So I mean, you're talking about a guy who's going to play limited minutes, and in a Claude Julien system is going to have to earn his keep. So it wouldn't be a guy to go out and add in my fantasy team, if you want to put it that way.
Yeah, he was just acquired. Towards the end of the, I believe it was the regular season, right before the playoffs is when he was acquired, and I don't believe
he's a draft pick. Isn't Soderberg a draft pick?
I thought he was undrafted. I might be wrong about that.
I thought he's a top draft pick of the Bruins. Let me check. Second rounder? I'm checking.
I don't know. Somebody's got to keep talking. We are on the radio, after all.
Are we? Sorry, let's keep going.
No, and I don't think he's played a game yet this year due to injury, but he's a guy that hopefully can inject a little offense into the lineup for them. And
sorry, you're right. Second rounder 2004 by
St. Louis.
Right.
They
signed him last year, didn't they?
He was in Sweden. He played his whole career in Sweden.
Yeah. He doesn't have a lot of NHL experience. But he's highly touted, though. He's highly touted. I haven't seen him play a lot. As Richie said, he played a lot in the Swedish Elite League.
He's 28, but in terms of, and I say youth, if you watched him last year, adjusting to the NHL game was an adjustment for him. Mm-hmm. And young in NHL years and playing in Sweden, you know, in the Swedish leagues is one thing, and it's good competition over there. But it's not the NHL. So he made some moves, but if you saw last year in the finals, especially in the finals against a good team in the playoffs, he didn't get a lot of time and space, and he was creating some things, but he wasn't sustaining a lot of continual scoring chances. So if you're the Bruins and you kind of top two lines set, where does he fit in there, right? So it's certainly a nice luxury to have, but again, I wouldn't go out and chase him in my fantasy squad.
Let's go to break. When we come back, Chuck Gormley from Comcast Sportsnet in Washington is going to join us. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on TSN 1290.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, the podcast on TSN1290.ca.
Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show here on TSN 1290, tsn1290.ca. To my far left, Richard Pollock. To my immediate left, Ezra Ginsberg. I'm your host, Drew Mindell.
No, you're the host, Drew Tanklan.
You can follow us on Twitter, @IllegalCurve. You can follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/IllegalCurve. And our website is IllegalCurve.com.
There you
that
go,
good?
Sure.
You guys
yeah,
happy with
boy.
That? All right.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
We welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show our good friend from CSNWashington.com, Chuck Gormley. Chuck, good afternoon. Thanks very much for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
Chuck, the Capitals off to a slow start, 2-5 in their first seven. What's gone wrong with this team so far?
Well, I think it's their defensive play. They're not getting key stops from Braden Holtby, and their forwards are not coming all the way back. It's kind of an old problem, different coach, and you know, the same results. So they got off to a really slow start last year, and they're doing it again this year. Sometimes I guess they need a wake-up call, and 2-5 should do it.
Division isn't as weak, though, as it was last year, although the division is pretty weak, is it not, Chuck?
It is. You know, everyone thought the Metro Division would be a really tough division. Everyone thought the Capitals would have a tough time going into a division with the Rangers and the Flyers and the Devils, and, you know, they thought this would be a lot tougher than the Southeast, and it hasn't been. I think it's amazing. I'd love to see how this shakes out, but whoever is the third spot in the new Metro Division could be 7th, 8th, 9th in the conference.
Yeah, we were just talking about that. It's very possible. You know, in the offseason, there obviously were some changes in Washington, but one of them was that Mike Ribeiro left as a UFA and signed with Phoenix. Have the Capitals missed Ribeiro?
You know, and if you had asked me in the first week of the season, I'd say no, because Mikhail Grabowski was just fabulous. I mean, he had a hat trick in his first game. Mm-hmm. He had, I think, 6 points in his first two or three games. But since then, he has not played as well as everyone anticipated, and that's a big reason he was dropped from the second line to the third. So he'll be playing on the third line tonight with Jason Chimera and Joel Ward, not exactly an offensive juggernaut. So I think it's more of a wake-up call from Adam Oates to Mikhail Grabowski, and I think we'll see him back up on the second line soon, but I think it's a little bit of a punishment.
Chuck, you wrote about this yesterday on CSNWashington.com, and you mentioned the third line with Mikhail Grabowski moving down to the second line, and Marty Erat will now play on the second line left wing with Brooks Lyke and Troy Brower. What's been Martin Erat's problem early on in the season? How come he hasn't fit in and hasn't been producing offensively early on in the season for Washington?
Well, you know, he spent most of his career on the right side, and the Caps are loaded on the right side. I think Adam Oates liked the way the third line was playing, so he didn't want to move Jason Chimera around. He tried Erat at center during the training camp, a couple preseason games. That looked only okay. So there's nothing wrong with Marty Erat, aside from the fact that he wants more minutes. And I think that's where they're trying to fit him in now. I'm not sure how this is all going to play out. I mean, Marty Erat wants more than 8 minutes a game, and I think he was up close to 19 minutes in Nashville last year. So you've got to keep him happy, and you've got to he's a $4.5 million guy, so he can't stay on the fourth line. They've got to find the minutes up there, and I you know, tonight's the start of that, and I'd love to see where this ends up.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290, tsn1290.ca. We're joined by Chuck Gormley from csnwashington.com. He covers the Washington Capitals. Chuck, you look at the Capitals, and I mean, part of their problem that is evident is that they have just had an inability of scoring 5-on-5. You know, you look at that team and you look at the, you know, the roster of some pretty impressive offensive talent. Why haven't the Capitals been able to score at even strength?
It's a good question, and it's a question I think a lot of people had with this team last year during the summertime. I was asked it a few times, and right back in it again. They do rely on that power play, and it is, you know, one of the best, if not the best in the league. Guys like Troy Brower need to score at even strength. Brooks Lyke really hasn't done much at all. I think he's just kind of finding his legs after missing most of last season with throwing problems. They should. I mean, with the talent that they have, with the offensive talent they have, they should be scoring some goals. And I think you're going to see increased play from Tom Wilson. I think that's a kid that they really expect a lot from eventually, and I think you'll see his minutes climb with each passing week.
You know, Brooks Lyke, Chuck's been obviously an important player for the Capitals for many years. Watching him, is he the same player he was a few years ago, or all those injuries kind of slowed him down a tad?
I think the injuries have slowed him down, yeah, and I'm sure he'd be the first to argue that and try to prove me wrong. But, yeah, I think he's if not a step slower, at least a half step slower, and he's got to produce. I mean, he's like Marty Erat, another $4.5 million guy, got a few more years left on that contract, and he's a third. To me, he's a perfect third-line guy. He's probably not a second-line center. Although he would probably argue that, and he has the offensive skills to give you 20, 25 goals a season, but he's got to start doing it because this team's going to need that. I mean, they can't rely on that top line the entire season.
Chuck, earlier this week it was announced that the Capitals would be keeping Tom Wilson up with the club and not returning him to junior. He was a 2012 first-rounder. Why was the decision ultimately made to keep Tom Wilson on the active roster?
I think that they're going to need him as this season progresses. I really do. I think they're going to need that grit. They need a guy. Aaron Volpatti's in the lineup tonight, but you're not going to see him play every night. They need a guy who can provide that kind of grit and who can play third-line minutes at least. And I think that is the plan for him. You know, he's only getting about 7 minutes now, but I think that's going to gradually increase as the season goes on. I like everything he brings. He's a little raw, for sure. His skating is a little wobbly. But, you know, he goes to the net hard. He hits everything around him. And he's not afraid to drop the gloves with anyone. So I think that was kind of missing with this team. And I think Adam Oates loves it. He says you can't have too many of these guys.
20 minutes before the top of the hour here on TSN 1290, tsn1290.ca. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're joined by Chuck Gormley. He covers the Washington Capitals for csnwashington.com.
Chuck, you look at the Washington Capitals defense as it's currently constructed, and at the top pairings you've got Mike Green and Carl Alzner and John Carlson, but then you got guys like Alex Erbom, Steve Alexie, Jack Hillen. Would you say that as it's constructed now, the Capitals' defense is a little bit top-heavy?
It is, and I think if they can get a fourth defenseman, I think the sky's the limit for this team. And I really mean that. I think that John Erskine is a solid guy, and he'd be a great fifth or sixth guy, but he shouldn't be a fourth defenseman. There's too many minutes for him. The pace of the game is too fast for him to be out there that many minutes. So I think something will happen at some point this season to address that. I'm not sure when and I'm not sure who, but I do think that's a gaping hole for this team. And like you said, they've kind of moved guys in and out of there. This guy, Nate Schmidt, is going to play on the top unit with Mike Green tonight. So, yeah, they're mixing and matching. I'm thinking that's temporary, but I'm not exactly sure when they'll address that.
You know, you talked about Braden Holtby before, Chuck, and obviously being invited to the Team Canada orientation camp in Calgary. Has that been a factor in terms of putting so much pressure on himself to try and be able to get that spot in Sochi?
It could be. You know, he's still a young goaltender. He still feels like he has a lot to prove. I'm sure he would tell you that it's the furthest thing from his mind, but it's got to be back there somewhere. I think there's a lot more that he can give. I think he proved in the playoffs 2 years ago that he can be lights out. Since then, he had a nice strong finish last year. I actually thought this team would go a lot farther in the playoffs last year than they did. But he has gotten off to a slow start, and this is two straight years now. And that's another guy on this team that has to kind of put things together. And to me, it's critical that he plays well, because if he does, then the Capitals can think a little bit more about Michael Neuwirth and to see whether that's a move that they want to make to address that defensive position. So I think he really needs to play well if they are comfortable doing that.
Chuck, we'll let you go with this last question. You know, why is this Capitals team, the way it's currently constructed, any different than the previous Capital teams that tend to go out early in the first round?
Yeah, it's a million-dollar question. I think Adam Oates probably scratches his head every night about that. I mean, I thought this team last year, near the end of the season, was the hottest team in the league, and I really thought they could go at least to the conference finals, but you know, there are little intangibles that happen during a playoff series that can turn things around. They were up on the Rangers 2-0. They were up again after Game 5, and they didn't score a goal in Game 6 and 7. So it's getting critical stops. I think there are so many teams that are so close in this league that's all it takes is one save in the playoffs, and you're into the next round. You've got confidence, and, the sky's the limit. So I can't answer that question. I think that they have the players. I think this is a playoff team. And like every GM says, once you get in the playoffs, anything can happen.
Chuck Gormley from CSNWashington.com, thanks very much for joining us this afternoon on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
All right, guys.
Take care, Chuck. Thanks very much.
Thanks a lot, Chuck.
Let's go to break.
Washington in on Tuesday, and as you can tell, they're quite vulnerable. So.
Caps have had some success at the MTS Center, as we remember from last year.
Basically ended the playoff chances last year.
Turned around their entire season last year. Anyways, let's go to break. One final segment. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, the podcast on TSN1290.ca.
This night I stood at your doorstep, trying to figure out what went wrong. You just slipped something into my palm that you were gone.
Richie, you approve of this?
Yes, I love this.
I can smell the same deep green of summer.
Game you can see live on TSN. Bombers are winning. 3-0.
Playoffs.
Playoffs. And they just picked off Ricky Ray as well.
Is that his first pick of the year?
No, he had a pick, pick last week to end the game in Hamilton.
Playoffs?
Oh, I mean, let's keep going with it. There we go.
Just playing in the background there.
You guys just saw the song when we saw Bruce in Minneapolis last year, or St. Paul, excuse me.
Yeah, you don't want to do that's what Kevin Cheveldayoff made that mistake.
Didn't he get booed for that?
Yeah, he got booed for it. You don't say Minneapolis when you're talking about St. Paul. They get upset about that.
You know, that's the same thing.
I want to talk a little bit about. I guess we got a couple minutes here before the cheers and jeers.
Yeah,
the lack of the trades that you're not. I find it interesting that you really don't see many early season trades at all. But you have to wonder if some of these divisions, we talk about the Metropolitan Division and, even in the Pacific Division, certain teams like the Oilers, there's certain teams now that I think are on the precipice of like having to really consider making a move to address the issues.
Right, and they're not moving. They're not getting rid of their coach or their GM.
Right, exactly. So, you know, Aikens is a new coach, for example, in Edmonton. And his comments I thought were interesting after the loss on Thursday, basically saying, you know, I thought it would be, I believe it was the wording was, I thought it would be a bit of a, you know, reconstruction here, but I didn't think we'd be doing this all from the bottom up. And so his comments kind of alluding to the fact that there's a lot more work to do than maybe he thought, and kind of the bill of goods that he sold, the fans, really. So, I mean, that's an interesting one. It was a good feature last week on Hockey Night in Canada about Dallas Eakins and what he's doing. But as much as the coaches try and, you know, talk about this or talk about that or talk about the style of play or what they're going to sell, at the end of the day, they're still working with what they got, right? And, you know, he's not going to make Ryan Nugent-Hopkins 6'3" and 230 pounds. Mm-hmm. And Nugent-Hopkins has played well. Don't get me wrong. I mean, obviously, talk about plus-minus. But he's one of their better players, okay, because the plus-minus only will say so much. But, you know, so you have to wonder, you know, in the past years, there's been a lot of action, but kind of before the trade deadline, at the trade deadline. But you have to wonder if this, maybe this year, you're going to see a little bit more trading action, guys, in the month of November and December.
And you have the salary cap expecting to go up.
Yeah.
And you have February, which is going to be a quiet month. You're not going to have a lot of time to make trades in February. That's the league essentially shuts down for
exactly
3 weeks, right?
So
I agree with you. I think you are going to see some movement because you have a lot of teams that are already behind the eight ball early on.
Let's go through the teams. Let's go Philadelphia. What's going on there? Are they going to make a trade?
Start with Philadelphia.
Washington.
Yeah.
We talked about the Oilers. You know, I mean, that's a team. Or as a team, like, you know, and you look at some other squads. What are, you know, like a team like Vancouver, are they going to strike early for that kind of third line guy, that third line center, or are they going to wait a long time because the price might go up?
And also the pickings get slim the longer you wait.
That's right.
I mean, earlier on in the season, you tend to see one-for-one moves, or you start to see the two-for-two moves. Later on in the season, then you start to see the rent-a-player situations where, you know, give me a second or third-round draft
pick. And the effect those players have is far less because they wait too long.
Well, that's my point.
And the other thing is, you know, even in Winnipeg here, if they're going to go forward with this forward group, like if they're going to try and have a chance of making the playoffs, do they have to address the forward group, specifically probably the center position? So, I mean, Winnipeg is not exempt from that at all. So there's a few teams that really, if they're going to... That's the whole point, Drew, you were going to just mention is the effect that they have. You know, if you get a guy in March, he's going to affect your team for 10 games and maybe the playoffs. But some of the teams we're talking about here might need more than that.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, then November, December might be the time to strike. And maybe the quieter trading season will not be as quiet as it has been.
Well, if you're the Vancouver Canucks, I mean, your third line center right now is who? Brad Richardson?
Actually, I don't even know who's playing third line center for them right now.
Well, I mean,
the last game, I mean, they were trying to push so many different guys in there.
But you know that you have a hole. I mean, is it Jordan Schrader? You know you have a hole right there. That hole's not going to get filled by anybody that's currently on the roster. It just isn't. I mean, so you know why wait?
Well, it depends on what line you're looking at. Because Schrader played last game with Booth and Cassian. So is that your second line or your third line? And then Higgins.
Well, they've also Tortorella's also split up the Sedin.
They're playing. I'll put you this way. I haven't seen the Canucks play in the past couple of games, but I saw them play 2 weeks ago, or a week and a half ago, and they're playing wingers in the middle.
So they're desperate. Yeah. They know that they have a hole in the third line center position that it's unlikely it's going to be filled on the 100%. Roster.
We just talked about what about Washington? We talked about the left side the defenseman.
It's
top four
exactly.
defense.
It's not going to get better. Mm-hmm. It's highly unlikely that somebody all of a sudden is going to round into this great player that you never knew that you had.
You hear the Buffalo rumors this week. What about Buffalo? You want to sell Vanek? You want to sell Vanek and Miller earlier rather than later, don't you? They can help a team, or if they can sign a contract extension. So I think this could very well be a more action-packed early part of the season trading-wise than usual.
Especially because I don't think general managers really know how with the new playoff format and the new new seating is going to work out.
How far you're going to be out of there?
Sure, it's a brave new world. In some respects,
yeah.
So you might as
George Orwell.
Well, strike while the longer you
Did
can
he
acquire.
Write that book,
Drew read the book in 1984.
No, that wasn't
was
George
already,
Orwell, was it?
Was it Aldous Huxley?
Aldous Huxley. George Orwell was Animal Farm.
1984.
Yes. 1984.
I bet we're going to get some tweets from literature critics.
I'm willing to bet we're not.
Ezzy, what Daniel Steele book are you reading later? By the way,
Crime and Passion.
Is that actually Daniel Steele's book?
I don't know.
It's like Crime and Punishment, but the Danielle Steele version there. Yeah. Anyways, Remus, you got cheers and jeers ready for that we can head with?
Cheers. Congratulations.
He's brilliant.
He's a good guy.
and jeers.
No, not good enough. He's a bad boy.
I never seen something stinks like this.
Surprisingly not good.
As much as I'd like to cheer station program director Chris Brook for coming in and actually asking Remus if he has a girlfriend.
Yes. Yeah, that was
That was the funniest thing I've heard all week, was when Chris came in and actually asked Remus if this girlfriend exists.
Everybody wants to know about Remus's girlfriend.
Okay, guys, get on to the cheers.
No, hold on, this is a cheer. We're cheering how romantic you are these days. Tonight you're going to go to a nice movie.
You want to try to see Gravity? I hear
you
that's
might even.
Good.
I hear that's good. You might even pay for the movie tonight. That would be really romantic.
I'm actually going to be paying with my scene points.
Nothing says love like paying on a, you know, on a date with scene points.
What do you mean? I collect them.
Let me ask you though, when you get popcorn at the movie, do you go through it like you do in the press box, or do you just share it with her?
What are you talking about?
You for sure get refills at movies with popcorn.
You can do that?
Oh yeah, you can.
Really?
You didn't know that?
No, I've never done it.
Do you apply your own butter, or do you get them to put the butter on?
I don't
for
get
you?
Butter at movies. It's gross.
Yeah, it makes the popcorn too soggy.
As a cheerleader.
Yeah, it makes it soggy.
Yeah, I could continue this conversation with Remus for the rest of the show.
I thought when you were eating the butter, you took shots of butter last night, not shots of the whiskey that we were brought.
I'm going to cheer Taylor Hall. He scored 2 goals in 8 seconds, breaking Gretzky's record from the 80s. And it was great because they showed on TSN, they showed Wayne Gretzky's 2 goals. He actually scored 5 goals in that game.
Yeah.
But it was a really long record. Taylor Hall's got tons of talent. I think he may be a little bit injured.
Yeah, he left the game
from today's
against
game. Ottawa. Hopefully it's not serious, but Taylor Hall's an excellent hockey player. Love watching that guy play. He could end up on the Olympic team for Team Canada, but good for him scoring 2 goals in 8 seconds, beating Gretz's record.
Did you hear Gretz's comment?
What'd he say?
Gretzky said, great for the kid. Records are meant to be broken. If Kevin Lowe had gotten me the puck quicker, it would have been 7 seconds for my record.
Whoa. I like that one.
Yeah.
I'm going to jeer
Ooh.
Dan Hamhuis and Roberto Luongo. After last week's mishap on that goal against the Habs, I thought it was kind of odd. Hamhuis, I was pointed out in the broadcast, didn't really tap Luongo or say, you know, my bad, because him and Garrison kind of collided with the puck there. But then Luongo, after the game, says, you know, that he was getting asked questions, and they said, you know, is that one of the more odd goals that you've let in? And he's like, well, I didn't let that in.
Maybe there's a beef between Luongo and
Hamhuis. Well, I mean, that, you know, the Canucks have, you know, started this road trip and played well. But you still, don't you feel that Roberto Luongo is still unhappy there? And I just don't like the kind of throwing teammates subtly under the bus. That's not... That doesn't bode well to me for the future.
Yeah, because on a legal curve, we're not subtle about it at all when we throw each other under the bus. Right. In fact, we have a sound effect for it. Reem?
Reem, I'm going to throw you.
That's not bad. Speaking of Vancouver, they lost in a shootout to Pittsburgh despite dominating on the shots on goal in that game.
Well, Crosby, 3 points. So.
Yeah. Anyways, I'm going to wrap up cheers and jeers. I'm going to cheer that the player's contribution to the NHL bleeper rule so far this season.
Blooper. That was a blooper.
Oh, that's right.
Was a blooper that he said. Yeah, wow.
Blooper reel. Let me try that again. I'm going to cheer the player's contribution to the NHL blooper reel so far this season. Between the Zach Bogosian giveaway, the Jonathan Quick goal, the Roberto Luongo goal, which he says it isn't his own goal, and the Jonathan Bernier goal last week.
Ron Hainsey, 2 goals.
Yeah, Ron Hainsey's dynamite. You already have, I mean, you're halfway through to a new NHL top 10 on TSN, on a SportsCenter top 10 of bloopers this year in the NHL.
Drew, I wonder if Remus spilling mustard on you would make that blooper rule it up in the press box.
It was microscopic, that mustard.
Yeah, it wasn't that
I'm
much.
I'm wondering if you put mustard on your popcorn.
Stay tuned to next week's edition of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show to find out questions to all of those answers. A big thank you to our guests in today's show, Jets assistant coach Charlie Huddy, Josh Cooper from the Tennessean newspaper, and Chuck Gormley of CSNWashington.com. In case you missed any of the program, it will be available for download. Search for the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on iTunes, subscribe, and get a sent to your iPod each and every week. It's also available on IllegalCurve.com and on TSN1290.ca. You can follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve, Facebook.com/IllegalCurve, and the website with the latest NHL and Winnipeg Jets news is
www.IllegalCurve.com.
Yeah, I did it. That's right. Creative control I have.
You done did it.
Till Wednesday night with NHL midweek. If it's Saturday, it's the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
You've been listening to
the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast.
Catch the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live Saturdays on TSN 1290 and TSN1290.ca.